This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You got to have me on for Talk Like a Pirate Day again this year because I choke. I need a second swing at that one.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
After the last hour of just yelling about baseball and Mike Gundy, it is such a genuine pleasure to know that Matt Derrick's on the other side of the phone. Because look, man, football's got its problems, but God, that last hour was just, here's why everything is terrible. Matt, tell me everything's going to be okay.
Everything will probably be okay eventually.
That's not good enough. You can follow... Matt on Twitter at Matt Derrick, and you can read everything at ChiefsDigest.com, where everything will be okay eventually, probably.
Pretty optimistic, I think, right now. You know, I feel pretty good about that prediction.
Is that on the like the either subatomic or intergalactic scale? Because in that sense, yeah, I mean, like eventually, you know, eventually whenever our star, you know, explodes into a supernova and consumes everything within a trillion light years, none of this will really matter. I mean, that's factually correct, I think.
And I'm factoring that into the equation. I just feel pretty good about the fact that I sat down my chair twice and I did not sit on Izzy once. And I had to kick her out of the chair so I could sit in it the first time. So,
oh, and then it's always a threat that she's going to go, oh, we got back up. Mine again. Still warm. Yeah.
Because she believes this is her chair.
Yeah. And, it is, right?
I have a chair for her right next to me. That is her chair.
But,
no, she doesn't care for that chair.
No, that's not. She gets the pick. She gets first draft pick of what chair belongs to her, and it's yours. So it's,
and it changes on a daily basis.
Oh,
sometimes her chair is her chair.
This last weekend, girlfriend Renee found a dog that just lived in our house for like 12 hours until we found its owner. There was a stray cat. There was like an outdoor cat that roamed through our backyard. I found a groundhog back there relatively recently. Have you had any great animal experiences outside of Izzy lately?
We have a family of rabbits that lives in our backyard.
Good. Okay. How's that going?
So, it seems to be going pretty well. I mean, they keep to themselves and, you know, they don't bother us. They just, you know, run across the yard and Izzy yells at them every once in a while. We do get the occasional squirrel.
Yeah.
So, you know, I live just enough out in the country that, you know, you see those kinds of things.
Do you mow your yard? Are you a mower? I've recently learned all the different strategies. I've recently just become a yard mower again. So this is frequently on my mind.
See, I don't no offense. I just don't see a lot of yard lawn mowing coming out of you.
No, I know. And that, so this is the thing. This is where, like, and again, Renee said the phrase. I don't remember who she was talking. I think she said this to her mom. She did say this to her mom, actually. So this really kind of puts me in perspective. Renee said that I have been surprisingly handy. And I just, you know, I, like, how surprising? You know, like, I'm not sure. You know, do I ooze tool time? No, I don't. But I can mow, and I've fixed some things. I can do a little tinkering here and there.
See, I think that's, I mean, to me, that's a huge compliment because, you know, you want to set low expectations.
That's a good point.
You can just slightly exceed.
Yeah, that's true. What I've done at this point is I bought a can of WD-40, and I'm basically a mechanic now. That's kind of my whole deal.
I sprayed some WD-40 on my garage door today because it was sticking a little bit. And didn't seem to not stick anymore, so mission accomplished.
Literally nothing. And if someone has a follow-up to this, I will hear your other submissions. I will say that nothing does the thing it says it will do better than WD-40.
Duct tape is the only other thing.
So I thought about that. I've had duct tape like fall off of a surface before. Speaking of the mower, I had the mower. The handle is made of plastic for some reason. I don't know why. We bought it used, and it had a crack, and I didn't want it to fully break, so I decided to kind of reinforce it with some duct tape. And eventually, it kind of peeled off a little bit. And like, you know, was it dusty whenever I put it on? Sure, could that have been user error? Absolutely. But WD-40's just never not worked perfectly.
Well, see, the catch is that, you know, I think that duct tape might get a little maligned in that situation because you will use duct tape for anything. I mean,
right.
It doesn't matter.
That's right.
What it is. it doesn't matter if duct tape is the appropriate solution. You will put duct tape on it to see if that. I once put duct tape on my muffler when it detached from my vehicle because that seemed like a good idea. Not thinking of the fact that the muffler gets pretty hot,
quite it's warm.
Melt the duct tape.
Yeah,
but I would not have put DW-40 on the muffler to try and reattach it.
That's true.
Our
screen door had been sticking, like where it wouldn't, the last like 3 inches of the door wouldn't close the rest of the way. And it happened a couple different times, and I had used WD-40 on other parts of the door before to try to get it working. Well, I finally realized what I needed to do was spray where the little kind of like the shock or whatever connects to the door itself. I sprayed the whole track that moves through, and now the door will fly open with the slightest gust of wind and then slam shut again, or it will just stay open on its own. It works too well now. It's barely a door because WD-40 did the job so efficiently.
You have managed to grease your door enough that it now has no friction whatsoever.
It basically ceases to be a door. Yeah, it's unbelievable. WD-40.
Yeah, WD-40, duct tape, and ball bearings will fix any problem.
Let me go ahead really quick. This segment's brought to you by WD-40. It will solve all of your problems. Wow, that's so convenient. Thank you, Rudy, for the paper from the other room. So that's the conversation I needed just to kind of give me a little bit of a barrier between the last hour and this one. How are you, Matt?
If it helps, I have no advice for mowing the yard to give to you because even though I do mow my yard on a semi-regular basis,
yes,
I am the worst groundskeeper in the world. whereas my neighbor across the street, I honestly believe that he's waiting for the call from Trevor Vance to come up to the majors. He mows his yard at least 3 times a week.
That's too much.
Completely and totally puts me to shame.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that a professional franchise of some sort could go out there and run some plays on his yard. And mine, no, it's the Charlie Brown of yards.
Yeah, no, I'm not here to judge yards. Mine's just, I've just successfully mowed and finally gotten through the entire yard on just one battery after having to put together a new battery. It was a whole deal. The reason I asked was because I was wondering if you have just like waking nightmares of maybe you interact with one of those bunnies when you weren't necessarily expecting to. While mowing, because that would be I would be anxious about that, like while laying in bed and not mowing.
See, I'm not afraid of bunnies.
It's not what. Okay, never mind. You go ahead. You finish that sentence. I'm sorry for interrupting it.
And I try not to let my yard get long enough that I won't see the bunnies.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it hasn't happened. It's absolutely happened. But no, what I fear the most mowing the yard are snakes and lizards because I hate both of those creatures. They frighten me senseless. And
lizards.
Every once in a while, we get little lizards around here. I don't know what they are. They're just little lizards, and they drive me crazy.
Yeah, no. For me, it's more about it's more about you being terrified of lizards.
Terrified of lizards.
That's very strange. I'm going to try to text you during the segment here. My family moved to Florida, as many people know. And since then, my little sister hasn't stopped catching lizards. Like, she bought a new pet lizard this week with some of her money. Today, I got a picture of her putting the little lizard on a small leash. And I'm going to try to send you a good picture of her catch with lizards that she has caught in the wild.
I'm not comfortable with any lizard that's large enough for a leash. I mean, unless the leash is made out of sewing thread, that is about the most largest lizard I'm comfortable with that could have a leash. If it's larger than that, I want no part of it.
I would say it's like a twine sort of leash. It's definitely not like a dog leash. It is quite small. It's not quite sewing thread, but it's smaller than a shoelace, I would say, leash-wise. The lizard is much bigger than a shoelace.
I'm going to still vote no.
That's fine.
I'm tapped out.
I'm going to continue to try to find the most ideal picture to send you of just a bunch of lizards that Chloe has caught, and then I'll ask you about other things in the meantime. How does that work?
That sounds great. Let's do that. Let's roll.
Okay, great. Here's a fun, lighthearted thing. I found the picture also. I'll text you this, and you can just take a peek, you know, at your leisure. It seems like coronavirus hasn't gone yet, Matt. I don't know if you've been really following this story about this pandemic, apparently. But Ezekiel Elliott tests positive, as does a number of Cowboys, a number of Houston Texans. How much do you anticipate it ultimately disrupting whatever plans the NFL lays out there?
I mean, it's going to. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. And I still think that we are way too far away from, you know, really knowing what impact it's going to have on sports in general. And I still think the NFL is probably, I mean, I think they probably consider themselves in the best case scenario, and that they kind of get to sit back and see how everybody rolls and how it works out. I mean, if Major League Baseball ever returns, NBA is probably a better, you know, indicator for them than if the NBA returns and how it proceeds for them. I think the NFL's got serious concerns and serious problems when it comes to return to action, because, as you've said, this isn't going anywhere. And you listen to the experts, and they will tell you that, you know, this is what we're experiencing right now is not a second wave of any sort. It's the first wave that's just continuing. It hasn't ever gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I absolutely have no reason to expect that the NFL is not any different than any of the college teams or anything like that that we've seen over the last week or so. When the NFL returns, they're going to test all the players, and a certain percentage of them are going to test positive. And I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know at this point how much that really concerns the powers that be. I think that there's almost a sense that, yes, young people, young athletes might test positive, but it's not a big concern. But I think that the bigger concern that they're going to have is that there's a lot of other people in the game of football that are not players who, if they get the coronavirus, it's a much different situation. I mean, coaches, assistants, staff, that's a whole other situation. And it takes a lot of people to put on a football team.
Yeah. Here, we'll have this be the break between the next coronavirus question. Did you get three photos from me while you were talking by any chance? Can you check that while we're live?
Yeah, and I'm going to block your number. I'm going to have to. I'm going to skip past that first one that appears to be a snake because I have no interest in that whatsoever.
It's a snake that Chloe caught. Yeah, it's a pretty big snake. It's like her wingspan.
The lizard on the leash, it's bigger than I'm comfortable with.
Uh-huh.
If that were in my house, I would probably put the house on the market and move. I have no idea what's going on in that second photo.
The second photo is Chloe holding four lizards
and sweet fancy Moses. I regret blowing that photo up. Yeah, no, this is. Yeah, no, I'm gonna vote no on all of it.
She's holding four lizards between each of her fingers like Wolverine's claws.
And it could not be happier and more proud of herself.
She is thrilled.
That is, I mean, I wish that I could go through life as happy as that young woman is in those photos. Because I can guarantee you that if I was in the presence of a lizard of that size on my skin, I am not smiling like that.
I'll just send, because I probably get a picture from my mom of a lizard that Chloe has caught probably every other day. So I'm just going to start just forwarding those to you like a fun email chain, you know?
I'll definitely put the block on you for that.
That's so fine. I'll send him the Rudy and then let him send him to you. We'll find a way. good. All right, we need it. That was good. So, okay, now here's my next coronavirus-related question while I look for other. How do you feel about snails?
I mean, I'm not a fan. I mean, okay. I would not eat them. I would not have them as pets. I mean, if they were in the house, I would probably usher a snail out of the house. I wouldn't kill it and stomp on it, but...
Yeah, that's fair. You try to scoop it up. Okay, well, that's good to know.
I'm not going to smile with it and put it on a leash or anything.
That seems completely fair. The NFL has put out these guidelines about how, you know, they want to set up the locker rooms in a way that every locker, every person maintains 6 feet of social distance. This is a two-part question. One is, did you laugh out loud whenever you envisioned trying to have 6 feet of space between human beings in the Chiefs' practice locker rooms? And two, does it make sense to worry about that if they're literally tackling each other for like 2 hours before they get 6 feet apart in the locker room?
Yeah, there's a lot to really, when you start to unpack those guidelines, that really makes you wonder if the person who wrote those has any understanding whatsoever of the coronavirus and or the game of football.
Right.
Because
or professional locker rooms.
I mean, you know, hey, is it possible if the Chiefs took some of their players and put some of the practice facility, some at Arrowhead, you know, put some built a locker room over at the Coco Key? Yeah, they could pull it off. But yeah, I mean, keep the players that distance, keeping the training staffs and the equipment staffs away from the players isn't going to happen. John Harbaugh asked a great question. I mean, how are teams going to huddle? How are you going to coach players?
Yeah, how are you going to huddle is such a good, simple, and devastating question.
And you know what? The fact of the matter is, you don't. I mean, it's practice. You don't need a huddle necessarily.
Right.
I mean, but at the same time, yeah, you're not going to be able to, you know, do any of that. And, you know, I guess to a degree, the one thing that you could probably do is maybe, like, just offense versus air. But that's about it. I mean, you know, you get an offensive line, a defensive line out there.
Yeah.
There's no way to practice that. And, yeah, I mean, you could even maybe say you're going to play some eight-man type football and no tackling and no pads or anything, but, you know, that's still not real practical. I mean, you're not really getting a whole lot out of it. So, I don't get it. I mean, it's – and let's face it, I mean, there is a way that professional sports and football in particular can return. I mean, Anthony Fauci outlined it a few weeks ago, which is that the NFL wants to return. You're going to take all the players, all the coaches, anybody who's going to be interacting with them, put them in a hotel, completely isolate them, test them every week, and that's the only way that you're going to be able to proceed. And, hey, if the NFL is willing to do that, maybe they can make this work. But if not, I don't know how they can. And I'll be honest, I mean, I'm not sure how many people would go for that, how many players would want to sign up for that.
Yeah, well, so that's – I mean, I think that that's the exact right next step to talk about. We're seeing pushback from NBA players and everything because, you know, there's even been the reports that, like, reporters might have to just be in Disney World for 3 months. We're not talking about 3 months for the NFL. We're talking about a season, a training camp. We're talking about in-person training camp for the Chiefs. February? We're talking about August through February in an Air Force base, you know? Like I don't know how that gets expanded out and everything, but that is a remarkable logistical challenge.
Yeah, and it is a challenge, and you know, and you get into it, and remember, I mean, you're talking, you know, NFL players, they may be young, but they're not all single. It's not like that, you know, it's maybe that, you know, sheltering them away in a hotel until February isn't asking them to give up that much. You know, there's a lot of family guys and people with kids. And
yeah.
I talked to one Chiefs player who, and this was back in February before we really had a sense of just, you know, what was going on. I mean, coronavirus at that point was just kind of a specter.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He felt a little flu-like, wasn't feeling really good. And he was living downstairs in the basement so that the wife and kids could all live upstairs and be sheltered away from him just in case. So this was before the coronavirus really hit. So, you know, if you're players with a lot of kids, you know, and you're married, all these things, I don't, especially if you're someone who has made some money, I don't know if you're really just volunteering to go out and put yourself in that situation right now.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the, like, everyone's inclination to say, well, you make this much money to do this thing. Like, that's, yeah, you're right. But expanding through that total isolation, just essentially living on the moon for 6 or 8 months, that's a big freaking deal. Like, you're seriously being like, hey, just live like an astronaut for 8 months.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But the thing outside of that, then, is, let's say, because even that, by the way, like the next logistical question there is the number of false positive or false negatives that you get through tests and your antibody. There's a whole batch of antibody tests that they ended up being like, yeah, this was actually, none of these worked or whatever. The margin for error there is that if you do get one person that makes it into the bubble of what, maybe 100 people per team, then that whole bubble is contaminated and the whole thing is kind of back to square one. It seems like, and correct me if any of this feels off base, because I'm reading and guessing, but it feels sort of like the NFL at this point is preparing to have cases and to have guys sit out for 2 weeks and to try to keep the line moving and just work through it as they can. If this was just about 2 weeks of light coughs or whatever, I could see that from a practical perspective or even a moral perspective working out decently, but it's also more dangerous than that. Like, I've seen all the stats about, you know, hospitalizations and if you're healthy to start with and all of that. But like you said, also, there's a bunch of coaches and support staff that are not professional athletes. So I don't know. Do you think that's a fair estimation as to what the NFL's plan will end up looking sort of like? And if not, is there a different starting point that you would be at?
Yeah, I think it is fair, and that's why, I mean, I think that we are so far away from being able to say that the NFL is in any position to move forward, because there's probably 38 steps that have to be taken, and I'm not even sure if we're at step two or three yet. And the NFL has been pretty consistent with their message, which is that we're going to proceed as normal and adjust if need be. And we have seen that throughout this offseason. You know, free agency progressed normally. The draft happened, but it just they adapted and, you know, didn't do it in person, did it virtually. But they still let it happen. Off-season workouts, they adapted, they changed that. You know, and we understand, and you know, we hear about the parts about, you know, hey, maybe they'll play without fans or anything of this nature. But to me, you know, and we had the report from Ed Warder today where, you know, he said he had talked to three coaches who all expressed some varying degrees of pessimism about whether or not there could be a season or how much it would be. And I'll tell you what, the most, I think, concerning instance that you have to look at, an example that makes you really wonder about whether or not there will be an NFL season, is to look at New Orleans. Because Sean Payton has just punted on the entire offseason program. Sean Payton has basically acted as though he does not believe there's going to be a season. And, you know, and this is a guy who did test positive. He had the coronavirus. He probably understands this better than anybody else in the league. And if he's basically taking that stance where he's sending every indication that possible that he doesn't think there's going to be a season, I think you got to take that pretty seriously.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I hadn't really thought about that very much. What do you think, like, if I gave you some power there, do you try to continue? I mean, like you've said, I mean, the NFL has been in a place where it's basically continued according to schedule, just changing format. Is there such a thing as a virtual training camp? Can that exist? You obviously can't have a virtual season, but I think at some point, in one of the press conferences with Andy Reid, like, he said, hey, we'll do whatever, whenever, and we'll be good, basically, which was one of Andy Reid's more kind of, I know that we're good at this kind of moments. Is there a world that, like, you just meet up in person on Sundays? I mean, how far could you see that element of it being pushed before the actual season would be postponed itself?
I don't know if the league would ever go to that, because I think the product would just be so compromised. You can understand a playbook. You can visualize it. You can do all of that you can. You can run, you know, routes on air in your, you know, local park or in your backyard. But the timing that you need to have and an understanding and repetition, I mean, it doesn't happen automatically. I mean, it happens because these guys run the same plays hundreds of times, you know, to get them all down. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that would work, because I think the product would just be so compromised on the field. But they're going to make some type of commitment to try something. I mean, I think that obviously the intent to have some type of season is there. And I think they're going to try and do everything to make it happen. I just don't know what's reasonable. And when we get to the, you know, of those 39 steps, you know, we start getting to the steps where you actually, you know, involve the players and whether or not they want to participate, that's going to be a big step. And, you know, and once again, I mean, if not every player wants to participate, what does that do to the quality of the product?
Yeah. It feels like this happened 6 months ago, but we haven't talked to you since the Chiefs pressers on Wednesday. It just feels like it happened 6 months ago because it kind of feels like we've been talking about them now for 6 months. But
exactly. We
heard from Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes and Tyrann Mathieu. Super big picture. What did you find most interesting from that trio?
You know, I think the first thing that stood out about just all three of them was just how, you know, real and authentic all three of them were. Maybe so more with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes than Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, I think Tyrann Mathieu always pretty much tells you how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that he changes himself in front of a podium or a bunch of microphones that much. But Andy Reid does for sure. I mean, and what we saw last week and heard from Andy Reid last week was, I think, the closest that you get to Andy really showing his real personality and his true feelings than we ever get to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes you just stand up and listen to it right there. The other thing that really stood out to me is that I think you're saying a little bit about how Patrick Mahomes is embracing who he is.
Yeah.
He's always been a pretty modest guy. I mean, when you put him on the spot about, you know, being the face of the NFL, face of the Chiefs, all those things, he usually downplays it and kind of does the all shucks thing. He kind of, you know, is acknowledging that he understands that he's got a different voice. He's got his own platform. And he also seems to understand what level it's on, that it's not just that he's a big name. It's that he is a guy who can move the commissioner of the NFL. And I think understanding that and, you know, knowing how powerful that his voice is and how he can use it, I think that's pretty big. And I think that's just the fact that he's acknowledging that and seems like he's learning how to best use that to his advantage and to the advantage of others, I think that's a pretty powerful signal.
I think you're right on all three of those. I think Tyrann Mathieu becomes the tertiary story just because his presser was very much within his usual character, the guy that we've gotten to know in Kansas City over the last year. Even like, you know, he tweets about issues, like real actual issues.
Yeah.
And so it's not, none of that is surprising. But yeah, like I've never seen Andy Reid that animated in a press conference, and I've never seen Patrick Mahomes acknowledge the reach and pull that he actually has. I mean, even specifically talking about being a black quarterback and racial issues on literally any level, I've said this several times in the last couple of weeks, but like Patrick Mahomes gets asked about being a black quarterback and what that means once a week whenever the Chiefs have a nationally televised game. Because we don't ask about it anymore because we've been here for a while, you know? But you have a nationally televised game, the national reporter asks about it, and he has kind of a, even then, kind of an aw shucks answer. I remember one time, I think it was towards the end of last season, where he kind of acknowledged, like, learning a little bit more about how it can impact you know, other black kids who see him and go, oh, I can do that now. And that came like relatively far into his tenure as a starter for the Chiefs, I think. So continuing to see that as a very real evolution, if it's more what he sees or more what he's willing to say or maybe both, like that feels like a real tangible thing to me at this point.
It does. And, you know, at some point, I don't know if it's necessarily now, maybe I'm, you know, being a little bit of the Last Dance influenced and thinking about how people will be looking at this 20 years from now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be an absolutely fascinating case study, and not just the NFL, but probably American society as it is right now. Because, you know, I think the unique thing about Patrick Mahomes is that he is a symbol to so many people as a black quarterback, as a leader in the NFL. But at the same time, I'm not sure that everyone necessarily even views him as a black quarterback. I mean, there's a lot going on there. He's a complicated person with a complicated background, and just like a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be, I think, a challenge maybe for him to navigate over the years. But I think maybe looking back, you know, on this 20 years from now, you know, Patrick Mahomes could be end up being such an influential transitional figure that has nothing to do with how good he is at football. I mean, that's kind of a tangent to it. But he could end up being somebody who plays a outsized role in just American culture and society as a whole.
Yeah. I wouldn't have said that, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
I think you're right, exactly.
That's the thing. That's why I asked, I think I might have asked you, I asked several people, like, were you surprised to see him show up in that video? I was. I saw the video pop up from Tyrann Mathieu. I saw him, was not surprised. Saw Mahomes pop up and went like, wait, what? Like, this is stepping into that ring in a way that we just hadn't seen yet. We played a clip of you saying this on either NFL Live Kansas City or Sports Center Kansas City or something recently last week. Whenever you talked a little bit about the kneeling issue and Andy Reid just kind of dodging that question. He told a story about blow pops, which I actually I think was kind of fun, but not an answer to Seren's question. I believe you called it a missed opportunity, which I think is a pretty good phrase, and from as one missed opportunity in a series of press conferences that had very few of them, I would say. But can you expand a little bit on that and what you thought about Andy Reid kind of saying, hey, we haven't talked about kneeling and we're not planning on talking about kneeling?
Yeah, and I understood his point. I don't necessarily think it was even a bad one, just to say that, you know, these are two separate issues.
Yep.
You know, what is happening right now and the protests that you're seeing are completely separate from, you know, players kneeling. I mean, that's a completely different issue. And so I understand his willingness to separate them. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, I do think it was a missed opportunity because this question is going to come up. I mean, it absolutely is going to come back. This isn't a question that's going to go away. You're already seeing a lot of players being asked if they're going to kneel or not and coming out and saying that they are. And it's black and white players. It's everyone. So, and Andy Reid is a leader. So to me, what he said absolutely was significant because Andy Reid is a big name and he's somebody that a lot of people look to. But I think it also would have been the absolute prime time for him to say whatever his stance is, that if he thinks that, you know, players should have that right to express themselves and that if they feel strongly enough to do it, then they should do it. I think he should have said it then. I mean, I think to a degree, you know, it looks a little bit like abdicating responsibility, you know, for now. And trying to just wait and see which way the wind blows. And the reality of it is that I got to think that Andy Reid has strong feelings on it. And if he does, I think now was the time to say it. Because this isn't going to go away. I mean, this is a problem or a question that you can punt, but you're still going to have to face it at some point.
Yeah.
You're still going to have to make a decision, and you're still going to have to speak your mind on it.
Yeah. If I had to play devil's advocate, like, he's right that, you know, that would have been the soundbite that we led with, and instead we led with him talking about using the phrase Black Lives Matter and supporting Mahomes and Mathieu and everything. And so, you know, maybe there's something to that, but it felt like avoidance a little bit. And not only are players talking about it, Matt, the head coach and GM on the other side of the field on September 10th has told you he'll be kneeling.
Yeah, and that's why I think that, you know, it is kind of to his benefit to get out in front of it, because the Chiefs, as it is now, are hosting the biggest game of the year in the NFL this year.
Yep.
And every eye is going to be on that game because it's going to be the first regular season game back. But, you know, Roger Goodell's going to be there. Everyone's going to be there. Outside the Super Bowl, there are going to be more people watching that Thursday night game than any other game in probably NFL history. And, that, I mean, you're not going to be able to get away from it. The spotlight's going to be there.
Matt, I appreciate it as always. Have you watched or read or anything interesting recently? Extremely important. Matt's book club.
Gosh, you know what? I haven't. The last book that I've read, and I have not finished it yet, I've been working through the Mitch Schwartz and Jeff Schwartz book.
Oh, fun.
Which is very insightful, knowing Mitchell a little bit, you know, just learning a little bit more. But I've not been doing a very good job during this craziness of reading like I should and reading books. So I feel very bad about that.
That's okay. Neither have I. Have you watched anything interesting?
I'm trying to think. Is that the last thing? Gosh, that I've been watching a lot of bad TV.
That counts. That counts. I don't need it to be a good recommendation. In fact, I would just be down to know what bad TV you've been watching.
Well, this is, I'm almost ashamed. I mean, this is a guilty pleasure.
Good.
I've been rewatching because I hadn't watched them all, but Nancy has been on Below Deck from like the very beginning, and so now I've like gone through and I've watched all the seasons of the original Below Deck, and now I'm starting, you know, all the Below Deck Mediterranean.
Okay, I'm just learning about this show. My first thought was that doesn't sound as shameful as you made it sound. And then I just
pretty
saw
shameful.
The poster, and it seems a little shameful, and also a little on
it's
brand. So I'm good with. I feel like this is great. I'm gonna start learning about this show now.
I mean, I got the cultured stuff. You know, hey, I'm very excited for next week's season finale of Top Chef.
Yes, love Top Chef. Love it. Love any cooking, competitive cooking show.
I can't decide who I want to win because I there's things I like about all three of the finalists. So
that's good. You say you haven't been reading much. If anyone else is having that problem, I'm sorry. I can't hang up until we get one good book recommendation. Specifically, I'm thinking for like people who enjoy hearing us talk about the Chiefs and maybe would want to celebrate the fact they won the Super Bowl last year. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
You know, I am now reminded of my last book.
Oh!
Celebrating the Kansas City Chiefs 2019 championship season because Nancy propped it up in the bookcase. So now every time I walk towards the bookcase from my chair, I now see the book in there. So it's a constant reminder that, hey, I wrote a book.
You can get that book. It looks like at triumphbooks.com/chiefswin. That's crazy. I can't believe that was so specifically accurate to what I was looking for.
Wherever books are sold.
I guess you're free now, Matt. I guess you can go. Thank you for being here for a segment that's long enough that Rudy's having anxiety shakes because we're going to have to figure out how we handle the commercials for the rest of the hour.
I am grateful to you for always allowing me to be as shameless as possible.
Enjoy the lizards.
Thank you.
Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com. Go there to read his work. Also, 810WHB.com. You hear him. I think he's on 810 every day now, honestly. We don't even have 5 daily shows, and I feel like he's on here every day. I don't think he has an off day. Also, again, follow him on Twitter, at Matt Derrick, triumphbooks.com/chiefswin. Yes, Rudy, we'll take a break.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
There's podcasts of this bleep everywhere.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
AES.show, if you're looking for the podcasts. It's a URL. It's a domain name that I pay for. Because it's such a tidy little URL. AES.show. Like, type it in. If you don't believe me. It's incredible. It'll then redirect you to a little smart URL page. I can say, you can go to smarturl.com/entirelysports or AES.show. I can get AES.show tattooed on my knuckles. If you can get an entire URL tattooed on your knuckles, you know it's a good URL. And yeah, I'm considering it. I see right now, first hour of tonight's podcast already up. Rudy, I have one correction for you.
Yes.
Blowing it is one word. You got to remember blowing it.
Oh, I didn't realize you said it was one word.
The apostrophe, I think, can stay, actually. That space has to be the title of the first hour of the podcast. And if you find Rudy is fine running the show, being on the show, working in radio, that's all fine. But Rudy lives for the podcast titles, which I really appreciate the craftsmanship of.
I do enjoy it.
It's great. And I enjoy that you enjoy it. And it's also one less thing for me to like have to try to be clever at. And so it's great. And so the first hour.
It's fixed now.
Excellent. The first hour of the podcast is called MLB is Majorly Blowing It.
So the 26 people who download it, I need you to delete it, unsubscribe, resubscribe, redownload.
The most important thing is the resubscribing part or staying subscribed.
100% resubscribe.
Don't stop listening halfway through
there. I don't think
there.
It's like that anymore. There was a time, though, where iTunes had like a little bit of a flaw in their algorithm where like if you unsubscribed and resubscribed a bunch of times, it would like shoot your podcast to the top of their boards. I don't know if it still does that. But hey, just unsubscribe, resubscribe like 20 times.
You try. Or what if now it just like shoots you down? It's like 4,000 people unsubscribed to this podcast today.
Honestly, your phone just might tell you if you unsubscribe and you try to resubscribe, no. Like, I'm doing this for your own good.
Yeah.
You got out, now stay out. Once you get out of the game, don't go back.
And stay out. It's so so dramatic. Look, we've covered very serious sports topics for an hour and 46 minutes. I want to talk about eating things. Something I meant to talk about at one point last week. Some, like, eating sort of strategies. Some of this we've talked about on this show before, but it came up again. Also, Rudy, yesterday morning on Sports Sunday, beards. We talked about the donut thing at least like a little bit on Friday, right?
Yeah, I don't know if we did on air, but I know the two of us did.
That's fine. There's a whole thing I tweeted out, a little graphic of like, here are, you know, like just like 20 donut types, pick two. And we talked about that a little bit off air.
I don't know if I want to know what Beards is going to say.
Beards' crime here is twofold.
Of course it is.
So first of all, someone said two glazed, and I just said found Beards McFly's burner account. But I, after tweeting that out, I've been thinking about donuts for like 3 days now.
You look like you've been thinking about donuts for like 3 years.
Bleep off. I have been. I think about donuts every day. 24/7. I haven't stopped thinking about donuts since I first found donuts. Age 4.
A little late to the game.
I distinctly remember coming up to I lived in Wichita for like 10 years of my life, so I was my whole family did. It wasn't just me. They didn't just ship me off
just
down
you
there.
By yourself.
Yeah, I had an apartment.
Just a kid on the streets.
We lived in Wichita, and we would come up for Yankees Royals games sometimes. And there for a while, there was like Royals score 12 runs, you get a dozen free donuts from Krispy Kreme. And I remember we stayed at a hotel, I guess, because I remember a horrible image later, which is we went to the game, we got some donuts, had some donuts, whatever. Then the next day, I think we went to games back to back days or something, like, you know, came up, spent the night, went to the game the next day also, I'm guessing. And on the way back down the stairs the next day, there was a box of donuts like sitting on the railing from the last night that somebody had eaten a few of and then put the box down, covered in ants. Just so many ants that I remember this minimum 15 years later. I don't think photos exist. You know, sometimes you have memories, but actually you remember seeing a picture of yourself as a baby or whatever, doing a thing, or like you watch an old home movie or whatever. I don't think documentation of this exists. This will also be a good way to see it. My mom is listening.
You just had the same dream like 20 times growing up, and
right.
You started like, was that a dream or was that an actual memory?
Right. I'm like 95% sure that this actually happened. But anyway, I haven't stopped thinking about donuts since then. It's just it fluctuates between covered in ants and I want to eat them. But also, you know, I eat bugs now and make interns eat bugs. So maybe that's where it started. Maybe it's like, oh, they're just sprinkles with legs. Pretty upsetting if you think about it too much. But anyway, I don't think we ever gave out our actual answers for that either. So, Rudy, if you want to go try to find that,
graphic. I already remember what my two were.
You do remember what yours were.
Yeah.
Okay. What I said is, I've considered cake donuts, what I actually think is an old-fashioned donut now, where it's kind of misshapen, and it has like a sour cream frosting base of some sort. It's cakey, but it has like almost a crunch because the frosting is thick. Those are super duper underrated. I think that is probably my first pick. Apple fritter is way underrated, but I think my two picks are probably the old fashioned and like the maple long john. But I don't have I feel like I could get a top five pretty easy. I did find it again. But I think that's where I would go. Donut hole's also underrated. But if I had to go two, I think I would go old fashioned and maple bar. What were yours, Rudy?
So mine were the blueberry cake and the strawberry frosted. Because I'm all about those flavored donuts.
Yeah, no, they are very good. And here's the thing. Bad donuts are good.
Yeah, they're... Yeah. Like, they're like, I'm not a big Bear Claw guy, but like
Panera's Bear Claw goes unbelievably hard.
If you give me a Bear Claw, I'm not going to not eat it in 30 seconds.
We're going to circle back to beers, but here's a sort of a question also for you, Rudy. I'm going to say now you have this list, this donut glossary. You can take 6 donuts of your choosing, okay? 6. So now I'm like, yeah, I'll take a regular Long John and a Bear Claw and a Maple Bar and the Old Fashioned and some donut holes and a Boston Cream. Don't mind if I do. How many would I have to let you pick before you would take duplicates? You're not sharing these. These are just for you. If you go through this list of whatever, 20 donuts or something, I think I might legitimately, even though I love the old-fashioned donut, I think I might legitimately take one of every single one of them. It's like variety, trying different things. Maybe it turns out that I love the, maybe I love the croissant donut. Maybe I love a glazed twist. I don't think I'm going to like the coconut one that much, but maybe I will. I don't think I would double up on one until I had gone through the entire list.
So if I get 6 picks, I am confident I would probably go with 2 of the blueberry cake because it's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally
I just like
get
different things.
Oh, for sure. For me, I like trying different things, but also like if you're going to be 6 and like I know I'm like blueberry cake, I'm gonna love. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna get 2 of the things I love.
Maybe it's your first one, your last one.
Yeah, because I can still have 4 other varieties.
Yeah,
stuff.
You don't want to
eat. Now,
the
other 4 will be all 4 different things. Like I won't go with, you know, 2 strawberry frosted. Also, like no, like I'll go 4 others.
You don't want to eat a spud nut as your 6th one.
No, you got. I'm
which
going
is apparently
out.
Potato based. I learned about this yesterday.
I'm going out on top.
You think spud nut and baby nut are related?
I don't know if I want to answer that.
So anyway, go leave your mic on, Rudy. Go leave your mic on here just real quick. Just leave your mic on.
Yeah.
So Rudy, so Beards comes in with 3 glazed donuts. 3 glazed donuts is what Beards comes in with on Sunday morning.
Yeah, that feels right.
He also had, I think he had 1 for his fiance. I was going to say girlfriend. No. I don't know that little kid.
As far as I know. It's still his girlfriend because like,
Cyberpunk hasn't come out yet.
He didn't tell us.
Okay, yeah, that too. This girl he went to New York with for that 1 week, and I don't know, maybe something happened. I think he had another one for her that wasn't glazed. And it, you know, like she has. I was gonna say she has taste, but we know who she's engaged to, so it's hard to tell. She seems like she has good taste, and most of her life was sort of this one.
We all make bad decisions.
We all have one bad thing. You know, we all have one guilty pleasure. There's no way Beards is listening, so I feel like we're safe here. But the second crime is that I just think we all have kind of an unspoken bond. We're like, I'm going to go by Quick Trip, or he went to Lamar's.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Could you shoot your good friend Josh a text? I don't need you to buy him. Times are tough. Be like, hey, man, I'm going to Lamar's.
Want anything?
Do you want a donut or two? They're like $1.50. I would have Venmo'd him double the price as a voluntary delivery fee. Because I've been thinking about donuts since Friday. He just walks in with a bag of donuts and a bottle of water.
Shame. Bottle.
That he bought at Lamar's. I don't know why. It was Lamar branded water. I don't mind water with donuts because it's all very sugary.
I'm angry.
So basically, you can't be a good friend if you don't try to bring your other friends donuts.